The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. How can a king and a cow share the last name? We're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar to give us a little clarity. Plus, we examine the difference between King Saul and King David, because only one of those two kings has a worthy legacy. And finally, like most people, there's a lot of people that like pie, but some people don't. Well, what do we do when we need to eat pie that we don't like?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 972-445-0770, 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First segment brought to you by our good friend, Jamie Blumenthal. Jamie and Nancy Blumenthal, owners of Retirement Strategies and Solutions. He will be in the studio 1 week from today is the plan. That's always the plan, but then things happen, but we're counting on it. His number, 800-287-1667, 800-287-1667, retiretherightway.com. I've said this before, I think it's apt, I think it's appropriate as a picture. Every time I think of retiretherightway.com, I see a one-way street sign and somebody going down that street sign the wrong direction. You don't want to retire the wrong way. You want to plan right, retire the right way. It's straightforward, simple. They're committed to making sure that the money that you've earned is safe. And if you're not sure where you stand, they will do a free checkup. No obligation, no requirement, if you want to just get together with them. RetireTheRightWay.com. That's their website. 800-287-1667. 800-287-1667. Couple things to tell you. Nothing of great, great depth. There's a few holidays. I'm not going to get into some of the holidays because I disagree with them. But today is, it's my party day, which absolutely means nothing, just in case you're wondering. But it's also World Egg Day. I don't know why it's World Egg Day, but apparently it's World Egg Day. We are going to do something a little bit different today. So we're going to be teaching. I'm going to be going through this discussion about a response and about pie eating. We're going to deal with that. That's going to be kind of a fun element. I do want to let people know, and I'm just kind of throwing this off the top so that you know there's something that I came across today. I don't know if you've ever had the chance to read in the Gospels where it talks where Nicodemus is having somewhat of an argument with the other Pharisees in regards to Jesus. This is in John chapter 7, and it's just something that struck me as unique. Remember when the Pharisees were getting really mad because the guards were like, never a man speak like this man. This is in John chapter 7, before verse 53. And so they were getting upset. the leaders and the Pharisees, religious leaders, were getting really mad because all these people were going after Jesus, and they were at the feast, and there's just like this attitude about this is crazy. So one of the things that Nicodemus had said, and I'm just bringing this up because it's something that came up in my devotions, one of the things he had said was, well, we don't really convict a man until we have a trial. Okay, that has been our system of government for a while. That's not new, right? That's at least 2,000 years old, and it's much older than that, obviously. You don't convict him before you have a trial. He's not guilty before he has a trial. Ironically, do you know what the false or the religious leaders told Nicodemus? They said, what are you, dumb? Look at, no prophet comes from Galilee. Check it out and see yourself. Now, doesn't that just sound so knowledgeable? And doesn't that just sound like so like, well, that guy knows what he's talking about? That is a direct contradiction because Jonah is from a town in Galilee. So when they said there's no prophet that comes from Galilee, it was a lie. So not only were they trying to do a conviction without a trial, then they were just lying about stuff. I wonder where we've heard about people convicting people without a trial and then they just lie about stuff. I don't know. It just seems funny that it's in the Bible a couple thousand years ago. Does that mean that people that go through that are like Jesus? No. What it means is that the sinfulness of man has been consistent from thousands of years ago until now. Isn't that amazing? I just thought that was amazing. Let me say, because it's the last hour and Wonder Julie only has an hour to go, and I don't think you have to, you don't drive an hour home, right? It's not long for you, is it?
It's 40 minutes.
Oh, it is. So it's almost as long as mine on the way home. It's just almost, kind of a different direction.
Just the other way. Yeah. You go east, I go west.
Did you have a lot of weather coming in this morning? Was it kind of bad?
No.
It was nothing? Nothing. Uh-uh. Oh, that's nice. I didn't really have any. We had a lot of rain last night, but there was nothing in the drive.
We had some earlier. When I was going to bed at 7:30, it was storming a little bit.
You go to bed at 7:30.
I get up at 3.
That is just amazing. I'm sorry to give you a hard time about that. It's just early. You know what I mean? It's early. I'm really excited for my wife. She has not had a day off in 13 days.
Wow.
So tomorrow is her first day off in 13 days. So I told her I did the laundry.
Good for you. I did
the dishes. I got the coffee ready, took care of everything in the house, and I told her she could do whatever she wants as long as she doesn't wake me up.
Are you bringing her tacos?
I have a feeling that she's going to make that run all by herself on the way home. God bless her. She's absolutely the best. So anyway. All right. So thank you for that input. My drive-in wasn't too bad, which is kind of nice. I'm getting used to driving with the sticker. You can't really see with the sticker. It's a see-through sticker. It covers the whole thing. You can't see as well, but you can see good enough to see a truck barreling down on you. So, it's still working good. So I wanted to talk about this pie eating element. And you're going to sit there and think, well, why are we talking about this? And the reason that I want to talk about this is because this is something I'm working on. So I'm not one of those people that teach or that preach. Actually, I'm not a teacher or a preacher. I consider myself a reacher, just somebody who's in the same realm as you guys and me guys and every other guys. I'm not a professional minister. I'm not any of those things. I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm just a Jewish guy going to heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so when I say that, I want to make sure that you understand. And I'm kind of just sharing the journey part, trying to figure stuff out. And I have figured out that I'm really lousy at pie eating, and I'm really lousy at, responding to God appropriately. Now, by that, your term appropriate might mean you get reverent before the Lord and you bow your head and you beat your chest. And I do that. I mean, I do that stuff too. It's when I walk away that I pick everything back up and go, what are you doing? I mean, I just recently said to the Lord, well, you could show me a little favor every once in a while. I mean, I don't feel like I need to be pulling the gold out of clothing in order to get money out of this situation. You know what I'm saying? It's like I have that attitude sometimes with the Lord. So I'm reverent. I acknowledge. I do those things. But then on the backside, I don't do as well. And the reason that I bring that up is because it's not just somebody like myself. It's all of us who do this, Now, I give it to the people who are pastors or to the theologians or to the teachers that maybe they do a better job, and God bless them. But for me, I'm more like Job. I can do two chapters really good, and then chapter 3 through 31 is a direct descent into insanity. That's what it seems like. Now, remember, Job did good, and the New Testament's kind to him, right? But for a multitude of chapters, he did pretty lousy. I mean, he was cursing not just the day he was born. He was cursing the guy that announced his birth. I mean, he's, you know, that's not a happy guy. And all I'm trying to communicate with you is I go through that. And I think a lot of Christians go through that, and that's just the reality of the walk. And it comes down to a point where we kind of act like we know better, or we maybe approach something like we have a better handle on it. Like I've told the Lord on a multitude of occasions in sharing and in praying and seeking needs. I fully believe in the 5,000 being fed and the multiplication. I'm just looking for one piece of bread and one piece of fish and him to do the multiplying. You see, that's the honest part. And I think God likes the honest part. I think that the false things that go on inside of you are not worthy. I think that our insides need to be, you know, right out there before the Lord, and we need to be honest about it. And we need to be forward about it. And we need to work through it so that we can grow up in him and not be childlike. Faking it, faking Christianity, that's exceedingly childlike. I don't want you to put your Jesus face on, because sometimes that Jesus face is when he's at the cross. I want you to look it square in the eye and say, let's do this together. Help me figure this out. I keep thinking of Jacob. It's hard not to think of Jacob, where Jacob is wrestling with the angel, right? He won't let go of the angel until he's blessed. Right? But then the angel touches him in the hip bone, and he walks with a limp for the rest of his life. It cost him. It hurt him. But you know what he wouldn't do? He wouldn't let go until God blessed him. That tenacious hanging on, going, no way. I believe in you. I know you're true. I know you're real, and I'm fighting through this. And, you know, sometimes you get out of it and you do better, but you walk with a little limp. That's how it goes. And that's, I'm not trying to be a downer. I'm just saying that's part of the walk. That's part of the honesty of the walk. So one of the things we're going to do when we come back is I want to just talk, you know, briefly about Nebuchadnezzar, David, and Saul. I'm not going to spend a ton of time. Just say, hey, we got to learn to eat pie and eat it well and eat it fast. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
Dr. Robert Jeffress on Hell.
I had a lady one time, we did a Q&A session in our church. We call Ask the Pastor. Usually I know what they're going to ask, but this lady raised her hand and she said, Pastor, if a woman is pregnant at the rapture, does that mean she will be pregnant throughout eternity? And I paused for a second and I said, yes. It's called hell.
That's brutal.
Mean, there are some unanswered questions about all of this, but I do think we can know we're going to know one another.
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
Fact, Medicare is a national health insurance program. Fact, Medicare can be confusing and doesn't always provide enough coverage for seniors' needs. The answer is the Benefit Link. This is a zero-cost service that helps seniors navigate their Medicare options by providing objective advice and personal support. Fact, for no cost, the Benefit Link has advocates available on a direct basis every day who are ready to help you. Call 972-BENEFIT. That's 972-BENEFIT. Or go to thebenefitlink.com. That's thebenefitlink.com. The Benefit Link is passionate about providing peace of mind. Fact, this is great for you, so act now.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to, you can send us an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Our website, davidspoonmedia.com. This segment brought to you by Clint and his wonderful company, Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services all throughout the Texas area, throughout Dallas and Fort Worth and Denton and Grapevine, all the way in all the different areas, even moving into a couple of other places. They are advancing. They are growing. Here's the reason why. They have thousands of happy customers that love the work they do. How about that? They're in Amarillo. They might even be going to Colorado. Family-owned and operated. It's A-plus rated with the BBB. They work with all insurance companies. They have free evaluations. They're on-site within 60 minutes. It's pretty straightforward. Go to MrRestore.com. That's Mr., M-R, Restore, R-E-S-T-O-R-E.com. You can also link through our website as well, or you can call them, 877-631-7576. 877-631-7576. Clint said it right here on this show. Hey, they do quality work, and they're focused on the inside of the house. If you got some problems, they're there to help you. That's a good thing, and you want people that you can count on, and you can count on people like Clint. As well, they have their ministry, the Adaptive Training Foundation, which is also linked on our website, MrRestore.com, for any fire, water, damage, cleanup, any sewage removal, any other restoration services. Okay. I asked you guys a trivia question. I didn't get an answer. I am stubborn. I will not ask another trivia question. Oh, no, I'll never do that. I'm never doing this until this. I'm going to ask you the same trivia question again. I don't think we got this one. So if we did and you remember we got it, just chime in and say you lost it, which is fine. You know, I don't care. I wanted to know if you guys knew what Matthew's other name was. I asked this question, but we really never got an answer on this. What was Matthew's other name? There's an answer to that. It's in Mark. It's in Luke. What is Matthew's other name? I can give you one small hint that is involved or connected to my life. And here it is. Ready? Bow Wow. Bow Wow. There you go. Nice. That's funny, right? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. What was Matthew's other name? So I was going to do this long thing on Nebuchadnezzar, and I'm not going to do that because as I was sitting here, I remembered what happened in Colorado at a Fellowship of Christian Athletes golf conference. And I'm going to tell you that story that I have never told anybody, so I have no idea how this is going to come out or how it's going to go. But just so you can be aware for the background's sake, Nebuchadnezzar was a very, very, very powerful king. If you go to gotquestions.com, they give you a whole history on Nebuchadnezzar. He's named 90 times in the Bible. He was in charge as the king of Babylonia from 605 BC to 562 BC. So for about 53 years, he was in charge. He constructed the Hanging Gardens of Babylonia. He was a very, very powerful king. He was the king God used to judge Judah and to wipe him out. I mean, just take him down. And through his not ministry, but through his calling, he was the one who had captured the Israelites. And Daniel went to go live there under the capture of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a really, really powerful guy. Okay, so let me tell you this, and then you'll get it all. There's a story in the Bible in Daniel chapter 4 where Nebuchadnezzar has this dream about, going nuts. Well, becoming either an ox or a cow or something along those lines. He has this dream of elevation, and he doesn't repent. He doesn't respond. Daniel tells him what the dream is, and he tells him. Daniel says to him straight out, he says, "Your Majesty, please accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what's right, or your wickedness and your wickedness. You got to be kind to those who are oppressed, or your prosperity is going to come to an end. You got to do the right thing." That's not what happened. Nebuchadnezzar did not respond. He was very prideful, and he walked out onto his palace, and he goes, "Look at all of this stuff I have built." There's a couple things you can say to God. That's probably not one of them, which is why people should always be careful saying, "I built this with my hands," and then the government should be very careful saying, "We helped build this," and everybody should be very, very careful. Since every breath every person has comes from the grace of God, ought to be careful. In Daniel 4:33, it says, "What had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, and he ate grass like an ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird." 7 years, this guy ate grass like an ox. There is this enormous debate whether he was an ox or a cow or a beast of the field or some form of bird, you know, like a bird that doesn't fly. So in Colorado at the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I was at, I think it was hole number 4, I was doing Jeopardy. And the question for the force and the people coming through was, who was turned into a cow? And a pastor from one of the largest churches in Colorado was in the foursome. And he said, "Was that Nebuchadnezzar?" He goes, "But he was turned into a wolf." And I said, "No." I said, "It's the Hebrew word for beast. It was a cow. Or it was an ox. It was some beast of the field, but it wasn't a wolf." And then he proceeded to tell me that he was the pastor of the largest of the largest churches in Colorado. And the other three guys who were with him started, they weren't mocking me, but they were going, "Yeah, you don't know. This is Pastor so-and-so. He knows. Now, I'm telling you this for a reason. So I got mad. I didn't say anything to them. I just went home and did a word study because I'm like that. Because my pride is so high, even though the entire story is about Nebuchadnezzar, who's full of pride, right? Don't you get the irony in this? That I was so full of pride, I had to know in my own mind between God and I that I was right and he was wrong. And there's nowhere in there where it says he's a wolf. There was a theory that it was like the, you know, the wolf man, but it's a pretty it's real thin. It's like one out of 5,000. And so I'm like, "Yeah, I'm right. Yeah, see, I knew what I was talking about. That pastor was wrong, and those three guys that were with him, they were wrong. All four of those guys were wrong, and I was right. That's right. I was right." But you see, I was doing exactly what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. I'm right. This is right. I did this. I'm smarter. I'm wiser. I know what the right answer. all of that and all of that spirit, that's wrong. And so when Daniel makes a plea and he says to him, accept my advice, renounce your sins by doing what's right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed, Daniel is saying, dude, repent. What's the matter with you? You're the king of this empire and God put you here. If you don't repent, God's going to make things a little different. I have a message for you and for me and for everybody who can hear my voice. That doesn't just apply to a king. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The word oppose in the Greek means to fight against. If we're operating in pride, God fights against us. I hate that. But God fights against. It's because if I'm operating in pride, I'm doing the wrong way. I'm doing the wrong spirit. I'm doing the wrong thing. And he'd rather teach me about pride than let me win an argument. See, winning an argument is more important to me, but operating with the right spirit is more important to God. Did you get that line? Winning an argument is more important to me, but operating with a right spirit is more important to God. And I'm the dummy who was sitting there having the attitude, and I have a feeling those guys didn't even give it a second thought, and I was all miffed. And see that, but that's the pride. But I had to win the argument. No. Sometimes you'll never win the argument because the people that you're talking about can't process even what you're saying. It's like, what are you doing that? Just let it go. Let it go. The Lord will take care of it. If you're like me, you need to recognize, like I need to recognize, me being right, me winning, me coming in first, me getting the gold, me, you know, I understand that if I'm competing in the Olympics. But not if I'm walking in life and representing Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you not to have, you know, the strive attitude of doing the best you can. I'm talking about that you don't need to put a mirror behind it, reflect it up into the sky, and make sure everybody sees it. That's what I do. Well, don't do what I do. That's a dumb thing. I do a dumb thing. Don't do that. When we come back, we're going to look at King Saul and King David. Because they had kind of a different approach when they were challenged. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well, get to feeling groovy again.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has three children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That is our email website, davidspoonmedia.com. Our trivia question that is out there, what was Matthew's other name? There is a reference in Mark. There is a reference in Luke. What was Matthew's other name? Again, the only hint you're going to get is in my own personal life. The only thing I'm going to give you is Bow Wow. That's all I'm giving you. Bow Wow. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Let me say hi to Jim Reed over at Parkmount Lending. They're in prayer, and they're making some decisions on whether they're coming on board. We hope they do. That'd be fantastic. But if they don't, we want everybody to be connected to us who's supposed to be connected to us. It's just the right way to do it. Okay? I mean, this is, believe me, you don't do this kind of ministry or this kind of work ever for it. So I'm trying to get rich. Really? I should be playing the lottery. That's a joke. Don't play the lottery. All right, we have somebody on the line. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Talking to Miss Sally.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good.
All right. Now I've asked this question like twice, but nobody's given me the answer, so I am deeply hoping and believing you will have the right answer for us.
Well, I haven't been able to listen to you for a couple of days, but it's Levi.
That is correct. And did you get my little hint that in my own life, Bow Wow, did you get that? Because my dog's name is Levi.
Oh. No, I just got it from reading.
There you go. That's the place to get it from. Excellent job. You did a great, great job. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering that question so we can go to the next question.
Well, okay. That's what I was here. I just happened to be catching while I was reading through my Bible.
Awesome. That's very cool. Thank you so much for calling. I greatly appreciate it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, bye-bye. Yeah, we have a cool audience. I like it. It's just cool. You know, it's like this, you know, you don't have a lot of people that are like, I'm grumpy. I get plenty of grumpy in a lot of places. I'll show you the spot on the freeway where the most grumpy is. I can show you. It's a 3-mile stretch. I can tell you exactly where it is. Starts about 3:09. And everybody in front of me and behind me. Okay, let's go to this next thing. This is really important, and I want to say it right, and I want to do it right. So you have King David and King Saul, 2 kings. And as you notice, only one of them has a phenomenal legacy. Just look at Matthew chapter 1:1 and every other reference in the New Testament to King David. There was an event that happened in Saul's life, and he had a response to Samuel. There was an event that happened in David's life, and he had a response to Nathan the prophet. So I want to just look at the example of the two things that took place. In Saul's case, he was asked to go to wipe out a city and to make sure that nothing was left. And one of the reasons that God has people go in and wipe out a city is because otherwise the people continue, they grow, they have vengeance, and then they go and then they kill in return kind of mentality. And these were people that had attacked Israel prior. So Samuel said, go wipe them out, take care of it. And then when Samuel came to see him, When Samuel came, here's what Saul said. Saul greeted him cheerfully. "May the Lord bless you," he said. "I've carried out the Lord's command." "Then what is this bleating of sheep and goats and of lowing of cattle I hear?" Samuel demanded. "It's true that the army spared the best sheep, goats, and cattle," Saul admitted, "but they were going to sacrifice them to the Lord, and we've destroyed everything else." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop and listen to what the Lord told me last night." Samuel said, "Although you may think little of yourselves, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they're all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for the plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight?" Here's Saul's response. "But I did obey the Lord," Saul insisted. "I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag and I destroyed everyone else. My troops brought the best of the sheep and the goat and the cattle and the plunder to sacrifice it to the Lord." Samuel replied, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams." When Saul, who's king, was challenged, the first thing Saul said is, "I did it. I accomplished the Lord's task." And then when he was called on the carpet, he said, "Well, I still did a really good job." And then when he was called on the carpet again, he was like, no, I did good. I mean, look, this is what I did, and we did it for the Lord." And see how what he kept doing was he kept justifying. He's having a conversation with the prophet. The prophet's telling him, "You didn't do what God said. You didn't do what God said. You didn't do what God said." And Saul was like, "Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did." Okay. In that story, Saul did not take well to being challenged. In the next story with King David, as you know, slept with Uriah's wife. Nathan the prophet confronted him and said, "You had this guy executed. When the story was communicated by Nathan the prophet, here's what David said. "He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing with no pity." Nathan said, "You are the man." In other words, he tells him a story about this guy who had this wonderful lamb, and this other really mean guy took the lamb and had him eaten, and oh, it was terrible. And David's like, "That's a bad thing." And Nathan goes, "You're the guy that did this. You did this." And David said to Nathan, "I have sinned, and I have sinned against the Lord." Instead of going, "No, I didn't," instead of saying, "I'm the king," instead of saying, "Well, there was a reason that I did it, you know, I didn't go off to war with everybody, and so I was looking out on my patio, and then she didn't," and I've actually heard somebody preach this, believe it or not, they said, "Well, she should have had curtains on her window." It's like, what is the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard? You don't know what. David should not have been where he was. He saw this woman. He got the hots. He arranged for her to have sex. And then he had her husband killed. He deserved to die. But when he was confronted, he said, "I did it." When Saul was confronted, Saul went, I did it all the way the Lord wanted. No, I accomplished the mission." When David was confronted, he said, "Yeah, I didn't do this right." Let me tell you something about those two responses. One of them has a dynasty and a kingdom. The other does not. Why? Because Saul was directly disobedient, and then when he was challenged, he was defiant. But David, when he was challenged, owned it. He just owned it. And this is the whole crux of the lesson. When the Lord brings it to your attention that there is something going on and it shouldn't be going on and you're doing it, don't defend it. Don't try and justify it. Don't justify your sin. Don't justify your attitude. Don't justify your mistake. When the Holy Spirit challenges you, own it. Eat the pie. And you know what you ought to do? You ought to eat the pie quickly. And you ought to do it as earnestly as you can. So, yep, you're right. I'm wrong. There is no time God will challenge you that God is incorrect about challenging you, ever. Don't justify to God. This is what I do from time to time. I don't do it all the time, but I do it from time to time. I justify something I've said wrong, something I've done wrong, and a wrong attitude, and I justify it. This is exactly what Job did that his sin was. It says that he justified himself rather than God. That's a sin. And so if the Lord challenges you, a challenge is like, man, own it. Own it, own it, own it, and move on. You're not going to go to hell if you're a believer and that your sins which have been redeemed, but you're not going to reflect Jesus Christ if you don't own, if you don't humble yourself. Now, Jesus didn't sin, so he didn't have to own sin, but I'm saying you have to have a, I want to be more like Christ life. And in order to be more like Jesus, if God needs to clean you out with a little bit of spiritual surgery, then when we do something wrong, we just need to own it and say, okay, that was bad. Listen to what Jeremiah 3 says. The Lord said unto me, faithless Israel is more righteous than unfaithless Judah. Go and proclaim this message. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am faithful, declares the Lord. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to foreign gods and under every spreading tree and have not obeyed me. All God wanted them to do was own it. That's all the Lord wants. Just own it. Don't, you know. Eat the pie and eat it quickly. If it's humble pie, take a big old slice and down it. If you're in a relationship and you've done the wrong thing and you know it's wrong, eat the pie. If you have a partner, if it's you and you're dealing with your parents, if it's you and you're dealing with your kids, you're not right because you're older, okay? That's not how that works. How it works is you set an example for whatever they're doing. If you do something wrong, own it. Or how are your own children going to know to own something when they do something wrong? I am working on this. I've been working on this for a long time, and I'm going to keep working on this until the day the Lord calls me or until he returns, because I want to have a reflective attitude that looks like Jesus. I want to set the example. If I do something wrong with my son, I need to own it. I'm not even going to tell you how many thousands of times I've had to own it, but there's maybe 1,000 more. I need to own it, and I need to be willing to eat the pie and have the right attitude and set the right example for my kids and for my grandkids. Because if the Lord challenges anything and I've done it wrong, I need to be willing to say, I was wrong. I did that incorrectly. There's nothing wrong with that. That's truthfulness. That's sincerity. And that's taking the legs out of pride. That's a good idea. You don't want to be too linked to Satan, do you? You know, he is exited out because of pride. So stay away from that. That's a bad call. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break. Come back for the last segment. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or a 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Why does Sally sell seashells by the seashore when anyone can pick them up on the beach for free? And what does she sell them for? I don't understand.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia.com. Sally selling seashells. I mean, that's pretty funny. If you think about it. Why? All right, and speaking of funny or not funny, I have a bad joke for everybody. A bad Christian joke, okay? Well, a bad Bible joke. And you might not remember anything from what I'm sharing today, but maybe you'll remember this. Ready? Okay, we call it a pun. Why didn't Pharaoh let the Israelites go into the wilderness after the first six plagues? Why didn't Pharaoh let the Israelites go into the wilderness after the first six plagues? Because he was in denial. See? Denial? Denial. Okay. I guess I'm not getting a contract for comedy anytime soon. That part's okay. Hey, at least I didn't hit you up with the what time was it when the hippopotamus sat on Noah's chair? Time to get a new chair. I didn't hit you up with that one. See, that's kind of nice of me. All right. So we've been talking about humility, pride. Actually, we've been talking about pride. And I've been trying to share with you that I got way too much of it. And we kind of looked at Nebuchadnezzar and King David and King Saul. And then we looked at Jeremiah chapter 3, understanding that the Lord just really wants us to acknowledge it really, that's it. He wants us to acknowledge that if he calls us on the carpet, own it. And let's not try to do or be something that we shouldn't do or be. The Psalm, now a lot of people use Psalm 51 in regards to talking about the sinner's prayer and how confessing our sins, and you go through some of that, or you go through a sinner's prayer that you've written, or your church might have something, or you might have something, or it just kind of goes with the flow. All of that is fantastic, and I support every ounce of it. The psalm for me that really brings home the problem with my pride and the problem with sin is for me, just for me, Psalm 32. Psalm 32 really kind of brings it home for you. And I'm going to just read this one part and see if you relate to this at all. Psalm 32, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave me the guilt of my sin. It's amazing that it's from a redemptive point of view as a Christian, the justification process is solid. And your salvation is something that God authored. And he's not somebody that writes a book and then drops his pen, okay? But it doesn't mean that you don't have moments or seasons where you sin, and that sin sucks the strength out of you. And you can say, you can come up with all the theologies you want. Go ahead. But the truth of the matter is exactly what David wrote. And David, as King David, he wasn't writing a theological paper in Psalm 32. He was like going, oh, okay, I acknowledge my sin because when I don't, I kind of feel crummy. I feel like somebody took all my strength. I feel like I'm sweated out on a hot summer day. Think of the hottest day you've ever had in Texas. Think about, you know, cutting yards like I do, like a dummy. Or think about anything else that you're doing. Then think about how exhausted you get. Well, that's what sin does to you. It just drains you. And the way to get through that or get rid of that is, he said, I acknowledge my sin. I'm not covering it. Here it is. I'm a sinner. Help me. So somebody might say, and I know they will, somebody will say, well, does that mean that that person's not going to heaven? No, but it certainly means that the ride between now and there is going to be a lot bumpier if you don't. If you don't say, I'm sorry. This is what we need to be in the sense of sensitivity to the Lord. As we become more and more like Jesus Christ, glory by glory, 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, step by step, piece by piece. When the Lord brings something into your life and you know you're struggling, just own it and say, help me with it. I need to do better in that. I mean, I'm not sure why that's a problem. I know it's hard to imagine, but do you know that every single pastor, every single leader, every single leader, including Billy Graham, who was for me, you know, one of the better examples. He too had to ask for grace and mercy for his own sins. Hey, your pastor is not perfect, but your pastor understands forgiveness, grace, and mercy. Doesn't mean your pastor's not striving to do better, but you can't put that on them. You can't put that on you. There is only one who is perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. That's why his sacrifice is so important for you and I. Because he's the only one that went through and didn't blow it. So now you're going through, and even in walking in the Spirit, you bounce between the Spirit and the flesh no matter what anybody says. Even Paul had moments. You think, oh, he never sinned. Where do you get that screw? Where's that? That's ridiculous. I mean, that's not even what it says. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He knew how to write. He said, I'm still messed up. We need help, and we need to acknowledge that we need that help and that the Lord help us. You're thinking, gosh, Dave, you're going over the top. No. This is how you get clean, man. This is how you wash it away. You know, when you do the baptism process and you're dedicating it, this is almost connected to that in the sense that you're getting washed when you confess. And I'll tell you something. I understand there's a lot of people, well, confess to this person. It says confess your faults one to another, just so you can know. It doesn't say confess it to, you know, to just a spiritual authority. That doesn't exist in Scripture that way in the New Testament. But what it does say is confess your sins to God. You should be doing that every day or every morning, every evening, whatever. Just acknowledge it. He is a merciful God. He loves you. He'll forgive you, but you still have to own it. Being in denial, ooh, besides a river in Egypt, it's a dumb idea. That's all I'm going to tell you. You don't want to and there is a sense of pride if you won't own it. That's where you want to get away from. Don't be deep fried by pride. Hey, that's pretty good. Don't be deep fried by, now I want something deep fried. See, The problem with being a foodie is that. All right, let that sink in. Let that be a part of your thinking process. Go forward thinking, yeah, if I acknowledge this before the Lord, I'm going to be like refreshed. That's exactly. You should read Acts chapter 3, verse 16, 17, 18. Times of refreshing come when there is repentance. There's a times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord when you repent. You want to be refreshed? Throw it all down. Let the Lord wash you. Okay? Got it? It's not hard. Stop making this stuff hard. All right, let's pray because I want to pray over everything that people have heard all week long because there's so much stuff going on, so we want to keep it simple. Father, we come before you right now in the powerful and awesome name of Jesus Christ, and we ask the Holy Spirit help and guide us in this prayer, not just in the hearing but in the engagement with it. Lord, I confess personally my pride and my sinfulness and my stupidities and acknowledge them before you and ask for your grace and mercy. And I pray every person who hears my voice will ask the very same earnest, honest thing, that if there's something they're struggling with and there's sin, that they just confess that before you right now, and that by the blood of Jesus Christ you would not just wash them, but by your presence you would refresh them and give them that freedom from the sin taking away their strength. Now, this week, we've heard so many things from so many people. Let the good things hang in with our lives. Let the things that draw us closer to you be a part of us. And let the things that don't just disappear. Only what you want, only what you say, only what you desire. Not ours, but your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, next week, we got Pastor Robert Morris going to be on the show. That should be a lot of fun. And we have a few other exciting things that I'm not telling you about yet. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Time for a 71-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.